everybody. Welcome to the Rocket X podcast. I am your host, Victor Redcore. Today, I got a fun guest on here. You guys have probably seen them banter back and forth. The meme wars. I mean, I think y'all had a lot of fun with that. I know we did. Every day, I was like trying to throw some haymakers at him. He threw them back at me. The last couple weeks, things got a little touchy, you know, and some stuff where, you know, some things were said. My face didn't turn red, by the way. He beat me up, but I didn't turn red. I turned a little pink, but I wasn't red. But yeah, I wanted to bring Willie on because honestly, at the end of the day, right, like we're all contractors, we're all working hard, we're always trying to get that, you know, have fun with it. But at the end of the day, man, we got to also understand that where everybody comes from, and we want to get the both sides of the story, right? Like he didn't come in and just try to beat me up. Like he had something he wanted to put behind it. So Willie, man, welcome to the podcast. Introduce yourself and let's have a little bit of fun.
Thank you. I'm Willie Ward, 32, HVAC owner. I've been doing it for about 12 years. My daughter turned 12 in May, so 12 years will be in the field as well. So I'm out here fighting just like everybody else, just trying to get my foot off the ground and do it the right way with different processes. So yeah.
Yes, I mean, it sounds similar to me, man. I got into HVAC because when my daughter was born, man, she'll be turning 10 this year, but she's about 5 months old when I got into HVAC in 2015, and she was my driving force, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I had really no direction. I was kind of a degenerate. I partied all the time. I was living in a fucking room in a house, kind of living like I didn't really have any goals or aspirations. And then little princess shows up and all of a sudden you got to change up pretty quick. You want to talk about like, what were you doing before you got into HVAC and how did that impact your daughter being born help you get into it?
Before my daughter was born, I really wasn't doing that. I was a couch potato, dropped out of high school, which is doing nothing, just on the couch, hanging with the bros, in and out of the streets. But I remember my mom told me about an HVAC school program that was offering trade school, and I ended up signing up for school. As I remember, while I was in school, I ain't gonna lie to you, I learned nothing in school. I was just...
That's funny, because like everybody that comes out of school, they try to get a job. They're like, I got my EPA. I'm like, you don't know shit.
It's because it's quick. They try to jam it in 12-month program. Sometimes it depends on what school you're in. Sometimes they don't really do like in-field training. So you doing brazing and air conditioning don't make sense. So you're not getting the true temperature and the true environment in HVAC, like tight attics, under crawl spaces, just stuff like that. So
I mean, that's something I've talked about a lot is trade school reform, man. I think there's a lot of stuff that they leave on the table, not only on the technical side, right, but even on the communication side and understanding how you make money in this business, right? Like you take a lot of guys, I feel like a lot of guys go to trade school, like they didn't have any like technical background, they didn't really have any background in sales or anything, and then they're like they're going to school because they saw a commercial and they had an opportunity to make money, and they think they're going to school and they probably spent 10, 15, mm-hmm. $20,000, maybe $30,000. They got to get out and get a career. Then by the time they get out, they can't even find a job, right? Because, you know, what you learn isn't enough. And that's one of the things I talk about. And I volunteer at my local trade school. I go down, I talk to them. I talk about like, hey, you know, these are clear paths. Like you can go to the commercial side. If you want to do a residential, you got to learn this, this, and this. And I really try to help as many of those guys understand how to make money in this trade. And I think that's a big part of it. I think we fail a lot of people, and we think that, you know, these trade schools just really maybe, you know, they need someone to step up. They need a little bit of help as well. Is that kind of how you felt getting out of there?
Lucky me, like I was always driven. So when I got out of school, I'd never forget this. I had a Crown Vic. This back when Crown Vics was like everything back then.
I fucked with the Crown Vic. I'm a big boy, you know?
While I was in school, I had got like at least about $10,000-$12,000. That was my largest thing. I think I blew that money within 2 months. This is how stupid I was with my money. I put a half down on the Crown Vic. I didn't even pay it off. I'm not sure why. I could have paid it off right then and there. I did. Half down was doing payments. And I never forget, I was in school. I just took my exam, and my daughter mom called me saying, it's time for the baby to come. So I'm in my Crown Vic driving, doing about 60, 80 on the highway going to the hospital.
Don't say you drive like a boat too. It's like a float around that shit.
So I was in the hospital, and they have you in the room, and then they take you to the main room for the delivery room. So while in that transaction, I had homework to do, and I was going back to my car to get my HVAC books. I never forget it. I saw my car leave the parking lot. I'm thinking somebody stole it. So I'm on some Forrest Gump stuff, just running to the car, thinking somebody stole it. Whole time it was the repo man. So it was like, shit hit me hard. Like, yeah. It was like, you can't go no lower than that.
Damn, that's fucking brutal, man.
How they put GPS in that bitch? They found you pretty quick.
Then, they keep GPSs in the car. He never told, like, he specialized in selling Crown Vic. He's like the Crown Vic man. I stayed in Columbia, South Carolina, so he was like the Crown Vic man everybody go to, but he had GPSs in the car low key, so I mean, he found out where it was at. I never forget that day.
Well, you know, like, and a lot of, you know, there's probably got a lot of guys listening that have been through the same shit, man. Like, you know, when I got in the trade, you know, literally 9 years ago in March is when I got, or sorry, yeah, last month, 9 years ago. And I was broke as fuck. I was driving a 92 Honda. It was a beater ass car, had the windows didn't roll down. Like, I swear, I remember going to my interview and I had to drive there and it's a fucking rain splattering me in the face, right? And then I got the job opportunity and like, I still remember, like, Craigslist ads, like, oh, we're going to pay you 60 grand a year. We're going to train you how to do this. You're going to get benefits. And I'm like, I got a 5-month-old baby. I'm like, that all sounds great because I was trying to apply to new jobs to be a trash guy or whatever I could to be able to make some money to support my kid. I remember going through training, man. Like, I was going through training. Like, I don't know how I'm going to survive this shit. Like, I mean, I was stealing the cup of noodles out of the break room. I was trying to, like, my chick at the time was like, send me like this tiny little, like, little food or whatever we could afford to send me. And I'm like, just let me in the fucking field. People don't understand, like, you know, when you're fucking broke, you're willing to do whatever fuck it takes. This 10 or 12 week program, I'm like, let me the fuck out. I'll be your number one fucking sales guy. Give me the fucking thing. Let me sell. Like, give me the ball, coach. Like, it was fucking brutal trying to go through training. There was other guys in there going through the same struggle as me, man. And they were dropping out, right? Because they had to go. And I got lucky that I was able to make it through that. But, you know, I think a lot of people that are listening kind of reminisce of that shit, man. Cause like, we all remember it. Like, we've been broke. Like, I remember not having a car. I remember not, like, been trying to figure out how the fuck we're going to feed my kid and all that shit. So I do respect that, but that's definitely a low ass feeling watching your fuck. You're like, well, I don't know how we're going to get the baby home, but that's cool.
Yeah, I remember that, man. That's a crazy time. I actually was supposed to be a CDL driver over HVAC, but I remember going to the program. Because I was, at the time, I was in between jobs, unemployment, and the unemployment had like a program to where you go, they pay for your schooling and stuff like that, man. I went there the first day, high as a kite. The first day, they drug test me. So, sum it up, by the weekend, they had to stand in hotels in Lancaster. To sum it up, they said I failed my drug test. I remember that day, my mom came pick me up. She looked me in my face. She said, boy, you's a dumbass, and just... We just took a drive home and it just really, reality hit me. Like, I just can't play any more games. I just got to get serious. I already finished school for HVAC. Why I'm not doing HVAC? Because at the time, I couldn't get a job. I had a felony and a lot of big companies wouldn't hire me. They would never hire me. I did job applications, never got any callbacks. And I ended up finding, it was a guy that had owned his own business. He's still my mentor now to this day. And he was working like two houses down from my mama house. And I just walked up to him, asked him like, hey, you do HVAC? I just graduated school. I'm looking for a job. And he ended up referring me to a guy who was just turned 30. He just started his business and me and him got together. So that's how I ended up getting into the field with a job and learning everything, because I started at mom and pop. So I learned the business side and the HVAC side when I first started.
And that's one thing too. And, you know, starting at where I started at a big corporation, right? Whereas the opposite. And I think, you know, I talk to a lot of guys all the time and they're like, how do you know all this shit in a short period of time? Well, I know a different side of the business, right? Like, I didn't learn the technical side first. I got to see the sales and the business side, and I obviously became technical. You have to figure that stuff out if you want to be successful. And, you know, I think that's, you know, it's just two different worlds, right? And then I think that's what I talk to a lot of guys every day, that they've never seen that world. The only world they know is, hey, something's broke, you go fix it. You fix it about 5 to 9, 10 units a day. And that's how you make your money. And then I try to teach them, like, hey, there's other ways to make money. But then there's this clash of what they believe is right and what I believe is right. And it's always us, like, back and forth rather than like, hey, let's work together to make something that fits both sides of it, right? And I think that's my hardest thing that I do as a coach or a mentor or just anybody. When people reach out to me, I'm like, well, do this. And they're like, what do you mean do that? It's a whole different ballgame. So you want to talk a little bit?
It's kind of like it's throwing them off because there's something they're not used to. Most guys that's coming in the field, they have to grind. They got to put in all these hours. And some like I had issues with certain jobs because get me wrong, I don't work for plenty of companies, and it was always an issue as far as like moving up in different positions. So I did have guys that been doing HVAC installer for damn it 15-20 years, and they would not move them up to service tech. So it all depends on what your company you're working for, who you are, how you approach yourself as the, like, towards the owner or whoever's hiring you in that position.
Yeah, and you have to think about that too. Like, if you are getting a job, right? Like, even if you have a job, like, what is your potential there, right? Like, be realistic with yourself, man. Like, some of you guys, like, you guys are gonna work your ass off for some dude that wouldn't even give you no motherfucking opportunity, and you don't have that option, but you keep going every day. And I always challenge you guys, man, to, like, dude, I would say, look, if I get an opportunity, I always want to grow. Like, if I can't grow within a business, I'm out. Like, I'll fucking see you later. Like, thanks for everything. I'm move on to the next. I got to have a path to get to somewhere I want to go, right? When I started as a technician, I needed to know how to get to become a sales guy. And then I needed to figure out how to become an owner or general manager, then an owner and all that shit. So I had to have a path. Otherwise, I can't do that box. You get stuck in the same, and I find so many guys that get stuck in these routes, and then they don't want to have that. They don't even want to put themselves out there. Let's talk about it a little bit. Obviously, you got in the trade. You started as, you know, probably the bottom of the barrel, like grunt work and shit. What were you for the first couple of years? It's like
first couple of
you
years, when I first worked, it was a guy named Thomas. His company was a solutions heat and air. I was doing basically everything, duct work, install, and service. And then when I left him, I got with a real company, and they had me as like kind of like a technician, kind of like a maintenance technician. I did the maintenances, and if it was like a repair or a major repair or a TXV or end of cording, they have the senior techs to do the repairs. I'm the one who come in, tell the client what needs to be done, and they have the senior techs to come repair it. So that's how I came up in the game.
And that's a pretty common thing, right? Like, obviously the maintenance techs, you got to get out there. You guys are kind of like the Trojan horse, right?
Get in the cleaning door and shit.
Shake the tree, see if there's anything there.
You need those guys, though. You need those guys, because I mean, if you don't know the systems, you do a damn 10 maintenance a day, you're gonna get learn the system and how it operates.
I talk to a lot of people all the time. They're like, why do I book tune-ups? Like, that's the learning ground. Like, that's where you get those little basics. You get started understanding, you start feeling comfortable, because like there's so many different types of systems out there that every house is fucking different. Every house you go into, like, you have to have a certain amount of at bats before you really become comfortable, right? Like, I talk to a lot of guys, they want to like hurry up from becoming a tech to a sales guy. Like, dude, get comfortable, learn your shit. Like, I moved up fast, but like, if you understood my knowledge, is because I just dedicated every minute to it. Like, I wasn't trying to fuck around. Like, I remember when I first got into HVAC, I had my daughter, and when I had my daughter, I was like, I'm gonna be sober. Like, I don't want to fuck around. I'm gonna be sober. I'm no drinking, no smoking, no nothing. Right? I ain't partying. All I did every fucking day was work. I was working, you know, 15 hours a day, and I was at home. I was studying, and I wanted to get better, because I felt like once you got the technical side down, then you know, like when I went to a house after, I didn't want to have to worry about technical. If I'm worried about technical, I can't worry about sell. So I got the down, and once you got the technical down, then you can start understanding, like, okay, I know I can fix anything. Now I can focus on the customer, right? And so many guys, like, they get the technical down, but they never transition to start focusing on the customer, understanding what they want, asking them the right questions, understand, communicate, how to sell, how to upsell, like stuff like that. And that's how you start making the real money. But they never turn that corner. They never change. They never change from what they're used to.
Yeah, that's what's a lot of going on. That's where the disconnect come from. You got guys who been technicians their whole life, now they're owners, and they still a technician.
Well, they also don't understand what it costs to run the business, right? And I talk to contractors every day, and like the first thing I always ask them is like, what are the costs to run your business every day? Well, I don't know. You know, they take a guess, and I said, well, that's the first thing I would go figure out. If I own a small business or any business today, I would figure out what it costs to run my business today, every single day, and then from there, I figure out what I have to do to be able to break even. And once I can break even, how do I make profit, right? And so many people that don't even know what it costs to run their business. So how do you have a target? And then all of a sudden every day you're just chasing your ass because you don't know what it costs to run your business, but you think you're making money, you think you're doing it, and you don't take the time to slow down and say, hey, no, this is how I make money. Okay, now I got to, you know, first thing I always say is get to break even, right? Once you get to break even, then we can figure out how to start making profit. But if you can't get to break even, no, there's no way to go to profit first.
That's true.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That's kind of like where I'm at right now, as far as like me and Jimmy Martin. He really is one of the good guys in the field that take his time to explain things to people, because I never had nobody to really, like, my mentor. He's a good guy. He molded me, like, as far as a man, and showing me how to get my feelings out of business, because sometimes I would have to deal with clients. They either like try to handle me some type of way, or they just like was trying to, like, I was young, so it's like they try to take advantage of me. Sometimes I'd be mad. I call him on the phone angry, and the first thing he says is, control your emotions. Keep your emotions out of business.
I know. I seen your emotions, motherfucking shit. I just got to be, I wake up and suck it. I woke up the fuck. You want to say, I woke up and I'm like, hey, that night before, I'm chilling in bed, went to sleep all fucking company and shit. I woke up. This is 3 hours ahead of me. You're on the East Coast. I'm fucking, I wake up, you know, 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, dude, this motherfucker, man. you got them emotional. Then I'm like, hey, take this down. You're like, how about you get fucking beat up? I'm like, all right.
Yeah, that was,
I can see it, man. But it's also that's learning, right? Like, that's part of maturity. Like, I used to be the same way. Like, I used to be a fucking nightmare, dude. Like, you came to work with me, you were my bitch. And I treated people like shit. Like, I was flipping tables.
You was one of those guys.
I was absolute airflow at 1.0. It was fucking crazy because I grew so fast, right? Like, I gambled. And, like, people don't realize, like, I started with 10 grand, then I turned into a $5 million business in 12 months. That's a lot of fucking stress. I invested every dollar back in. So when motherfuckers weren't doing their job, I had to fucking make this deal today. Otherwise, I'm not going to fucking have a business. Like, I was a motherfucker. I wouldn't want to deal with me. Like, you saw me, you would look, the motherfuckers would look the other way, right? And then I'm like, okay, well, I got to change this up. And I like, the first couple of years, man, I just learning how to deal with people, especially, you know, I started my business at 30. You're 32 right now. So you're like right when I first started changing into like, hey, let's be professional. Hey, let's not talk to people like that. Like, hey, let's start making people feel good about coming to work, kind of being scared on their toes. It's a motherfucker, man. People don't know what it costs to avoid the stress.
They really don't.
They think you're making money like hand over fist. I'm like, no, bitch, I had to fucking borrow my personal credit card to pay fucking payroll today, and now I got to fucking pay equipment, and it's like, it takes a lot of shit, man, and I look back, and I would never do what I did again, that's for sure. It was a stressful fucking time, man. I could have just grew nice and slow and chilled. Like, we had great, sold a lot of jobs. I had great margin. I chased that dopamine hit. Like, for me, I feel like because I have really bad ADD, I'm always chasing something. And if I don't have something exciting, I get bored. Like, that's why I gamble on these events and I gamble on, you know, new businesses and new shits, because like, that's my dopamine hit. Now I'm learning to control it. It took me years. Yeah, like now I'm like, okay, I want that dopamine hit, but let's get it. Let's make sure that shit ain't heroin. You know what I mean? Like,
that is true, man. That is true.
So talk about it, man. So you obviously started with this guy. How long did you work for that dude?
I worked for him for about 3-4 years. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I always had it in my head that I was going to be my own boss, because like, it's a bad word to say, but I hate someone controlling me, telling me what to do. So it was like, when I had worked for different companies, I always had my business on the side. So it would never work. Like, I had jobs and got fired. Got another job, got fired. The last job I had was Carolina Heat and Air, but they turned to Service Expert when they brought the company, and it was like a franchise. Yeah. So I fixed one of my friend's dad's sports bar. The drain was fucked up, blew it out, but I didn't blow it all the way out. So he calling me while I'm on the job, hey, man, you need to come right now. It's not working. I ain't come. Next thing I know, the GM brought me in the office and said, like, hey, we got to let you go. He didn't give me a reason why, but I put 2 and 2 together, because I did pull up on the job with the van before I went home, and he seen who I was working with. So that was kind of like a bad idea.
It's also like this, man. Like, you know, when you got we got 1 foot in the water over here, 1 foot in the water over here, you're never all in on anything. And I think that's like when I first started my business. So it was like beginning of August 2018, I went to my buddy's pizza shop. We had some beers, literally like, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 IPAs. I don't know how many I drank. I was pretty fucked up. But talking to my boy, we're like, hey, like, he's like, why don't you just start your own business? I'm like, that's a good idea. Like, literally, I'm like, that sounds like a good idea. I'm like, I never started a business. I don't know what it costs. I don't know how to start an LLC. I don't know how to do any of that shit, right? Like, I've never done it before. I literally went home that night. I got on my stomach on my living room floor. I was still drinking more beers. I'm fucking pretty faded. I'm not writing down business names and all this shit, right? And then, you know, next day, like, you know, I'm like, I came up with a name. I'm like, boom, let's do it. For the next couple of days, like, I'm like, I'm going to start my business. And I'm like, well, I still got to go to work. And I was really trying to wait till the 15th of August, because I was supposed to get like a $5,000 or $10,000 bonus. I don't remember what it was, but it was a pretty significant bonus I was supposed to wait for. And I was like, okay, I'll get that bonus, then I'll start the business. But I was like, dude, I went to work and I'm like, I can't do this. Like, I either have to quit now or whatever. And my brother actually is the one that made me pull the trigger. So I'm like, Mike, like, fuck this shit. Let's start our job. He's like, all right, fuck yeah. And Mike drives to the office. Big Mike drives to the office and quits. I'm like, Mike, what the fuck? I got to wait for my bonus. He's like, ah, fuck it. I already turned the truck in. I'm like, all right, then I'm in too. Fuck it. I drove, turned my shit in. And like the next day, boom, I started texting everybody on my phone. Hey, I started a business. By the next day, we already had an install. Boom, ended up. And then it's all in. I had no choice.
At that point,
yeah. I always say it's like the story, like, that burned the ships, right? Like, you already know that, right? There's a Spanish sailor, right? And he was leading his team into battle. They were going to go take over this island, right? And so they pull up to the island. They're getting ready to unload. They unload their shit about to charge this island. As the team starts getting off the boat, they start headed towards the island. Hernan Cortez turns around and lights the boats on fire. And he's like, hey, we're either going to take this island or we're going to fucking die. Those are your choices. Right? And that's what happens when you go all in on something. It allows you to go all in and all your focus. And guess what? You are probably going to win because you have no other choice. Yeah. And when you got no other choice.
Win or fail.
So then, okay, so you fucked up. You did some side work, got caught. Next thing you know, you start your business. What year was that?
That was 2016. I think that was like 2016 or 17. At that time, I was like 23, 24 at the time. I didn't know shit. I remember this because I didn't have a car at the time, a work truck. So I ended up buying a four range, a stick shift. I didn't know how to drive the fucking stick shift. I pulled up to the guy off Facebook, me and him friends to this day, and we laugh about it. He didn't tell me it was stick shift until I had got dropped off down there 30 minutes from where I stayed, and he was like, it's a stick shift. I'm like, oh, I don't want to buy it. He's like, man, come on, I'll teach you. So he took me in a mall from the apartment that he stayed in. He took me, showed me how to put it in neutral, put it in first gear and shift it. Man, I think I stalled out about like 10 times going back home through the highway, man. I think I stalled out.
Well, that's kind of funny, because I actually, same thing happened to me. I found a guy on Craigslist. I bought a Ford Ranger, and the same thing as a stick. I didn't know how to drive that shit. I ended up driving it home, and I same thing, stalled out a bunch. I got it back, and then like I started having all kinds of issues with it, dude. So my story ended up completely. You're still homies with this guy. I want to beat this motherfucker's ass. I called him. I was like, hey, dude, this shit ain't working. He's like, you already bought it. I'm like, dude, I bought it from your office.
You
I know
you another
fucking
crazy
work.
Story?
Like,
all right, so I had the Ford Ranger, doing good with it. Business got slow as shit. Business got slow. It got real slow. So I went to go get a title loan. I never do that. That's why I pay for things cash. If I got it, I pay for it cash. Nothing. I end up getting a title loan on it. And then I think I got behind like two payments or something, like one payment or something like that. I woke up the next day. My truck was gone. This is two times.
It's called a cycle, dog. So low. Like I circle back, because I remember like, so in 20, shit, I was living in Cleveland, I wanted to get back to Cali to Vegas for Mike's wedding, right? And I was working two shitty ass, I was working the oil change job, and then I go across the street and I work at Arby's for like four hours a night. I'd have to work. So I was working like, I don't know, 16 hours a day in Ohio, just trying to like, I was trying to stack up some cash so I could go to Michael's wedding. So I was working, I was doing that, and I ended up taking one of those fucking payday loans, man. It took a payday loan to be able to go to fly out to Vegas for Mike's wedding. And I got to learn real quick how much money those motherfuckers take, so you get stuck in the cycle. Thank
God.
That's
the cycle you don't want to go. That's what a lot of business
do. Yeah,
you get
that vicious cycle. Well, it's the same thing in business, right? Like you get those loans. They're like, here, borrow $300,000 and pay back this.
I did that one time before. I never do that shit again. It was a Betty Advance place. They gave me the money, and then they withdraw money every day, Monday through Friday. I never do that again. They still hit me up and text message me every day about getting a loan. I'm like, hell no. If that's not a loan, that's extortion.
There's a lot of guys that are taking those loans. And I take those loans starting out too, but I was trying to be smart with it. So I would take half of it, and I'd use half of it for growth, and I'd leave the other half
so
of the bank.
Yeah, so they could withdraw it. Yeah.
The problem is like a lot of guys that get that money, they use every fucking penny of it, and they're like, oh, fuck, I got to pay this back. And guess what? So when COVID hit, obviously like shit, business stopped. I had one of those loans. Have you ever not paid one of those loans?
No,
see what happened?
I paid it off. I was so happy when I paid it off. I said, damn, I'll never do this again.
You think the car repo guy is bad? You got some gangster guy from New York calling me. I'm gonna shut down your business. I'm gonna start calling your customers. I'm gonna tell all your employees you're broke. I'll shut down your phone line, your credit card processing. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to fucking survive. I'm like the whole country shut down, dude. Like, fuck. Oh. I will pay you back. Like, fine. Yeah, but that's it. That was, I'm like, I'm trying to face, like, yeah, I'll shut down your credit card processing tomorrow. I'm like, holy shit. Like, then I'm like, then I really can't pay you, dog. Like, what do you mean? Like, shut down my credit card processing. You get no money like that much. So, no, there's a lot of guys that are listening that bet to the same shit. And I try to be an open book, man. Like, none of this shit was rainbows and cupcakes. Everyone's like, oh, fucking, dude, nothing was given to me, man. I've been taking care of my parents. I started taking care of my parents when I was 18, take care of my moms. You know, my dad used to work for me when I first started the business. You know, he passed away. And, you know, so for me, like, I'm the money guy in my family. Like, everybody comes to me when they got problems. And then I'm the same way with business and life. And, like, I got, like, every day, all day is fucking hand out to me. But ain't nobody opens. Like, if I had a problem tomorrow, ain't nobody else me.
Exactly. I think everybody go through that problem when they level up in life. It's just... Everybody, it don't matter what color you is or what background you come from. I think everybody
goes. They'll throw me at this second. This, if I fucking fumble tomorrow, something happened, dude, everybody on the internet would throw me under the bus. Everybody act like, oh, I fucking told you, fuck that guy. Instead of understanding like all the good that I did, they only see what they want to see, man. So like, that's like circles back. So like when I see people like bash me, I'm like, first off, fuck you, like, cause I'm like, I work my ass off, like, this is how I support my family. So people,
see,
like,
if we had this story, you know, like, before, we'd been more cool. I would understand, cause from, I'm seeing it from social media side, so I never really got to really talk to you one-on-one, so it's kind of different, because you look like you got it well put together, but that goes to show, like, you never know what someone's going through to get to where they at in life, so.
You, it's crazy, man. So, like, I had the guy, the Josh Crouch guy, man, like, last year, like, we're, like, a month before the event, before my event, and he starts bashing my event, talking shit. I'm like, first off, I gave you free tickets last year, now you're bashing my event, and I already knew what we had planned, and it's like, dude, like, don't fuck with, like, I don't go on business and start bashing people's shit, because I know what it costs. Like, I wouldn't go to one of my competitors and start blowing up their fucking, give bad reviews and shit like that, because I know what it takes to run a business. Like, you don't fuck with me, don't fuck with me, just don't talk shit. So, I'm not mad at you, and I don't get mad, I was like, oh, I'm gonna fuck you, wanna mess around, and the same thing with the mean shit. Like, I enjoyed the mean shit, was just funny to me. I pumped my ass time. And so, like, a lot of people, like, they're like, hey, are you really mad at Willie? Like, dude, I got respect for Willie. Willie's a fucking hustler. He's like me, man. And you know, obviously, it is more difficult to be a fucking black contractor. It is more difficult to be, you know, to not have the opportunities. And I know that. Like, I grew up, we were the only white family. And, like, I grew up in the ghetto. Like, we were, like, the only white family in the hood. I spoke Spanish until I was fucking, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old fluently, because everybody around me spoke Spanish. Like, people don't understand, like, I didn't grow up with a bunch of money. My mom was the oldest of 8 kids. We lived in a fucking ghetto-ass neighborhood growing up. Like, I never, like, you know, my mom, thank God, she got into sales, and she's what taught me sales. So, like, she gave me the opportunity to understand sales as a young kid. She kind of sold her way out of the ghetto, yeah. Right? And then I, you know, there, like, my parents ended up losing their house. They got divorced, and I started taking care of everybody else, but... You know, I have a similar story where people just think like everything was spoon fed to me, but like, you know, my real story, you're like, oh shit, first off, I will hit a motherfucker in the mouth, because that's how I grew up. We throwing hands, I don't give a fuck. Like, you want to fuck around and find out. Like, I had a guy the other day, he said something to me. I was like, I got the money to bail myself out, dog, and I got the money to lawyers too. So like, which part you want, what hand you want to get hit with? Well, let's talk about that, man. Let's, you know, this is an important topic, right? I just had a podcast earlier, and we're talking about women in the trades, right? I've done a real good job of bringing the women up in the trades. But when you talked about that the other day, I was like, I haven't brought the brothers up. I haven't brought the Hispanic guys on stage. Like, well, I let Ishmael on stage. That's enough Spanish guys on the stage. That motherfucker crazy. No, but at the end of the day, like, there's another part of the industry that hasn't been represented the right way. And I'd like to talk about that. I'd like to figure out who we can put up there. Like, who's that motherfucker that y'all look up to or want to be like? I want to help that. I want to help y'all get them off stage too.
I would,
you know?
Say I'm talking to Jonathan and Derek. Derek Lee out in I think he's in PA.
Derek's a homie. I like Derek.
He's good. He's real humble. So he's like in the background. He really talks highly about you. There's a lot of guys that talk highly about you. Jonathan, Derek. Those the first two I really met. Everybody else I'm still trying to pull together, because it's like when I look left and right, when I go to these events, I don't see many people that look like me. And it's just like I have a lot of DMs of young kids wanting to get into the field. And it just reminds me like, damn, I was that kid looking for opportunity. I had nobody to like reach out to. I just had to figure it out on my own. So it's like now that I'm in this position, and when I get to a higher position, I could know there could be someone that like, hey, if he like, I get messages all the time. Hey, I appreciate your clips or videos and stuff like that. I just started my content creative with HVAC. I say, damn, I want to be a content creator, but I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. What is something that I do every day? HVAC. Okay.
I was laughing the other day, the one you had where you're like, is your word buying today or something like that? You're like, and you fucking disappeared.
Yeah. They told me not to do that on my same page that I make sales from. So I just.
There's some good guys. Like, there's actually, you know, one of my good friends, he actually used to work for me. He's actually going to be at the event. His name's Landon Charles. And he started with me at the same company. And I watched him. And Landon's got talent, right? And I watched Landon not get the opportunities that I got. I watched Landon get treated differently than I got treated. I watched it. Like, he's helped me. Like, he's a good friend of mine. And so like when I left the company, you know, he kind of followed me to the next company I was at, and then he kind of did his own thing for a little bit. And then when I started Absolute, I brought him in. I was like, hey, why don't you come work for me? And you know, I gave him the opportunity. Like, the other companies wouldn't give him the opportunity to sell. They would just let him be a turnover tag. So I said, hey, I'm gonna give him the opportunity to sell. Guess what? He excelled in it, right? He did a great job, and he treated my customers good, and everybody liked him. But I saw it for the years, like these are my friends that I've seen them not get the same opportunities. And it's a real thing. My other friend, Shaq, I call him the happy Gabby because he has big old gab ass teeth, but that's my homie. You probably listening to this right now. But you know, Shaq was the same way, man. He got out of the military. He came into the same company I was at. They just treated him like a grunt rather than treating him like the guy that, you know, to give him the opportunities. Now, maybe he wasn't as good of a sales guy as maybe B or Landon, but he should have had the same opportunity. And I watched it. And I also watched the customers. So I would ride with it. Like, they would come to ride alongs with me. And, you know, the same thing. Like, you see the customers act different. And people don't realize that you're already going in up an uphill battle, right?
Before you get to the door.
Like fucking Boy Scout coming in, you know what I mean? It's like, you gotta battle that. You gotta battle, you're not getting the opportunities.
I think they feel more comfortable once, like, they know that you're knowledgeable about what you're doing. Once they feel like you're knowledgeable and you are, like when I go through a client house, like you say, I don't do the talking. I let them talk and I respond. I'm more of a responsive guy. I don't demand anything. I say, hey, how can I help you? I'm a problem solver. I come in as a problem solver. I want to solve your problem. So when I leave this house, kind of like a Chick-fil-A service, that's why I have almost over 200 5-star. A lot of people, I'm a one-man show and I have so many 5-star reviews because I try to, like, these people are what's going to feed me. That's how I think of it. Like, I need these people to have their uncle, cousins, grandma. I need the whole family to use me because you are the people that's going to pay for my lights in this house. Without it, this lights would be off. I would be outside on the porch, homeless. So I take that heave as a business owner and treat my clients like.
I'll tell you a fucked up story with Landon when he was working for me during the COVID, like when they were doing, like, I don't know if you ever saw the riots they had in Long Beach, and you probably had some riots out by you and all that shit. And during the George Floyd riots, so like Long Beach was fucking a mecca, right? I mean, it was, they were burning down buildings and all kinds of shit. And Landon was working in Long Beach one of the days they were doing one of the riots. And dude, he was just literally getting his ladder out of the work truck and he got the cops called out. It's like, dude, this motherfucker got his ladder. He's got his work uniform on, looking clean cut. Like they called the cops on him because he was black in their neighborhood. And that's kind of shit that you don't deal with, like, you, no one else has to deal with. People don't realize it. It's like, dude, he was doing nothing wrong. A cop showed up. What are you doing here? He's like, dude, I'm fucking working. What do you mean? And so it is a real thing. It is something that needs to be brought up, and people need to understand that there is a uphill battle for you guys. And it's a fucked up thing, and it needs to change, in my opinion. So yeah, I definitely, but dude, when you brought it up, like I do believe that I would like to have more people on stage that represent that look like you, because I think that we need to bring as many people into the trade as possible.
Yeah, we definitely do, because I'm not sure what the next generation gonna do. I mean, they're
gonna be doing TikTok videos all day. Well, that's your job security, because nobody knows how to fix shit. Like, you think one of the Gen Z guys is gonna fix an air conditioner or run a nug? Like,
brand
come
new
on,
unit
bro.
Gonna,
like,
have to get replaced.
You saw what's the guy, the quarterback, fucking Caleb Williams, wearing fucking pink nail polish, pink cell phone.
One of the dudes got a sponsorship from a nail company, and he wearing them blue and white fingernail polish on his hands. I'm like, man.
You can go work at Affordable. You working for me?
I'm about to change my damn name. Speaking of that,
let's talk a little bit about that, man. So obviously, you named your business Affordable. That's always been, you know, everybody always gives you shit.
So how I got my name, my mentor company name was Affordable, and at the time I had a doing business as, and then when I tried to go how I do an LLC, my company was all pro heat in the air, but it was so many names coming in. So I called my mentor. I said, hey, what you think about if I do your name and my name, Pro Affordable Pro? And he was like, oh, it's cool. But I didn't, it used to get me mad, because I talked to Gene one time and he was like, man, that's after I talked to you, like, y'all change your name. All right, talk to Gene, change your name. Talk to, when I finally got, change your name. And like, change my name. I'm like, God damn, man, I'm doing all right. But then now I'm finally realizing, like, bro, I get all the clients that I don't want. That's why sometimes I be mad, because like, damn, like, some people don't value who you are. They just value the flat rate price. And that's just physically what it's going to be with them sometimes, man. And it's just kind of frustrating, because like, damn, I paid 12 years in the game. I've been working hard. Why I'm not in a different position? And it kind of get frustrated with me sometimes. But as an owner, you still got to keep your composure no matter what.
Yeah, and then I saw the one. I remember there's like a video you had where the lady was like yelling at you in the house.
Oh, you remember that?
Shit. You're like,
oh yeah, she was bat crazy. I think I did a new duct system with her in a UV light. And I forgot what she said. She thought I didn't do the duck work. So I knew she was kind of like, yeah, you know, some clients like, oh, okay, they wanted them. So she got her shoes, crawled up under the house. This is when I had got with House Call Pro and I finally had finances because she was doing financing. And she was like, well, I'm not going to do the contract. And I already done did the work. So I was like, man, you say you agree to this. You sign this. Let me go ahead and call the law. And she just signed that right fast, like right fast. And I got the money. I haven't talked to her since then.
Get the money. Yeah, I don't want to talk to that bitch. I'm going to fucking put that up.
That was one of my first financing jobs with House Call Pro. It was with WiseTech because it was integrated with House Call Pro. So, yeah, that was a wild one right there. I had my experience with wild clients, man. Wild ones.
Well, that's good. And so, you know, I saw you see you had the conversation with I think it was Jimmy, man, and it sounds like you're looking to grow the business. Like, where do you see the business, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now?
Where I see the business is just like, once I do the rebrand and when I'm finally realizing you could do something for a long time and see no progress, and there's someone that's doing it for a short time and got more progress than you. So basically, I've been working in the wrong system for a long time, and it didn't finally realize until, and I appreciate you for what you, everything you've done for me, because I didn't know other guys around the world and how they maneuver and how they work until I end up going to that Profit Rocket show and I started talking amongst other people. So now I know people in California, now I know people in Texas, now I know people in New York, Virginia, and we talk amongst each other with different owners. I have plenty of owners that reach out to me, give me advice. So it's like, man, it really woke me up. Something in my spirit that woke me up, like, damn, I'm really working the wrong system. Maybe I need to change around, because I don't want to be that fucking guy that does it for years and have nothing to show for it, just a fucking beat up van and a little bit of money. No, that ain't what I want.
Yeah, man, I think that's kind of the power of the events. You know, like a lot of people like the things on stage, man, and I look at the events like, because I used to go to events when I first started my business, and I wanted to get around people that are doing big shit and just getting out there, and you get to meet with people, you get to interact, you get to understand, like, a lot of people are going through the same struggle as you are, or they've already been through trying to get out of it, and you have those conversations. And I think that's really the power of the events more than anything is the network, right? Because the better your network is, and you can start working together. And I mean, I'm in group chats with people all over the country. Some people I talk to in Australia, obviously Canada, stuff like that. Like, I talk to people, like, you saw the amount of messages I go out to every day, but each person that I talk to, even if they're asking me for help, I'm learning something from them, right? Because they'd be like, hey, I have this problem. I'm like, how would I fix that problem? Okay, well, maybe other people having that problem. Now I want to make a video for the blueprint, right? And then, like, you know, recently, like, I had the conversation with my team, man. I was like, man, I gotta make the blueprint affordable for everybody. So I said, okay, if you got under 10 employees, I'm gonna make it $500 a month so you can have access to all my shit. Every SOP, job training, everything you can have. Like, I have so much shit in there. I'm like, they're like, $500. I'm like, yeah, if they're under 10 employees, they get $500 a month. Because I want more people to see the other side of business, to understand the financials, understand how all the operations and all that shit. My team thinks I'm crazy, but I think I'm like, there's more people under 10 employees than there are over 10 employees. And how do we get those guys below 10 employees and get them to grow? Because once they start growing is when they can spend more money with you, do bigger thing, business. I'm a long-term, I always say it's about LTV, right? Lifetime value. I want that customer to keep coming back and wanting to do business with me. I want them to feel like I helped them. Because if I go and take all their money up front and I didn't help them, how are they going to feel about me? They're going to feel shitty. And that's my big thing, man. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here for a long time. I always say, like, I'm more of a legacy at this point than anything else. Like, I want to build a legacy of people that I helped along the way. So, man, like I said, I wanted to bring you on this podcast to obviously clear the air on all that stuff.
You're actually doing something that nobody's doing, man. And as bad as it is, it's a good thing because somebody got to do it. Nobody's willing to take that risk. So if anybody could talk down, they don't understand the pressure. Really much is the pressure of doing it, just doing it every day.
Fuck it. I want someone to sell. If someone else loses $1.2 million, shows up the next day. Said I should have been jumping off a bridge. Shit. Well, like I'm an optimistic person, man. Like, I always think I can figure out anything. I don't care what position I'm in. I'll find a way. I'm not like a cockroach, man. I can't kill me. But Willie, man, I want to say thanks for coming on. Thanks for telling your story. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with before jumping off?
Hey, man, leave Victor the hell alone.
Hey, I'm a witty motherfucker too. I got a PhD in shit talking. Yeah. So like, I will go back with all day. If you don't get it, I'm like, no, don't fuck with me, man. I'm gonna fuck around and find out. But Willie, man, I respect you. I respect what you're doing. I love watching your business. I love supporting you. I'd love to have you back out at the event this year. If you want to come out, I got a ticket waiting for you. I'd love to see you get out there. I know a lot of people would love to see you. You make a lot of people laugh. You follow your story. So just keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep plugging away and let me know if there's anything I can help with.
I appreciate you. And I like, bottom of my heart, I apologize. Like, I'm at the point in my life where, like, I want peace and I'm not afraid to, you know what I'm saying, own up to my mistakes. as a man. I don't have no pride issue. If I'm wrong, if I'm in the wrong, correct me. That's the people I want around me, you know? And I appreciate you.
No problem, brother. And well, if you guys enjoyed this podcast, remember that I don't take sponsorships on this podcast. So like, share, subscribe, get other people involved. Obviously, I was trying to get as many reach as possible. Get that EBITDA up, right? And you know, I put out one last promo, May 1st through 3rd, Dallas, Texas. I got an amazing event. I got Rick Ross performing. I got over 40 different speakers that have done badass stuff in this industry that are growing big businesses, doing big things. I want to teach you that. Then come get around a bunch of winners, man. The more winners you're around, the more often you can win. So go to callprofitrocket.com. Get your tickets today while you still can. I'll see you guys in Dallas. It's going to be amazing. Willie, man, thanks again for coming on.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, brother. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you, guys.